Welcome to Action Church. And I will just tell you, if we could just talk amongst ourselves a little bit before we get started. I never really wanted to be that guy, that preacher guy that talks about Revelation or does a prophecy series. Grew up in independent Baptist churches. My dad was a Baptist pastor who really likes this stuff. And I will admit to you, I've been really picking his brain, even though he's going through a difficult time. He's actually enjoyed it because he's forgotten more about the book of Revelation than I will ever know. But I will just tell you, like in 10 years of Action Church, we've never talked about the book of Revelation other than in passing. We've never had a prophecy series because I'll just be honest, it seems weird to me. Now, it still seems weird to me this morning, and occasionally this month I've kind of been like, I'm preaching from Revelation? Like, when did that happen? But here's the thing I realized that, and sort of the, I want you to know why we're doing this. I think the only thing that's weirder than doing this is the idea that as Christians, and you don't have to be a Christian to be part of Action Church and to come here this morning, and if you are here and you're not a Christian, as I always say, I really am impressed with you. You're that open-minded that you'd come and hear me talk about the Bible, even though you're not a Christian, and you're welcome. But if you are here this morning, and many of us choose this life of following Christ, what I think is weirder than talking about Revelation is this idea that we have all of our ideas about the future from movies and not from the Bible. Because I truly believe that the book is better. Now here's the thing about movies that it's just becoming more and more clear to me this month as I've been thinking about it and been watching movies about the future and sort of thinking about all the movies we've seen. They have certain themes. Like last week we talked about the dystopian theme that runs through so many movies and books right now. The one we're going to talk about today is the idea that aliens are coming. If we look at the future through the lens of movies, you have to think that an alien invasion is coming at some point. And so I thought, not only can we sort of look to the future from Scripture, because I do believe the book is better, there's a lot of themes in movies that if you think about it, like, I don't think they're there by accident. And this is not me going, oh, Hollywood has this sort of conspiracy to tell us these things. No, I think they come from us. The reason why we buy tickets and the reason why there are movies about alien invasions and why there are movies about dystopian futures and there are movies about, we're gonna talk about Star Wars next week. I hate to spoil it for you. Shocker, it hadn't come out before. But why these movies are popular and why they're part of our culture, I don't think it's a mistake, and I don't think it's a conspiracy, and I don't think it's, oh, they're telling us. I think they come out of us. And so we have to look at this idea that aliens are coming, and it's going to be bad for traffic, right? Like, one thing we can be certain of, I've noticed this. I don't know much, but I know, as you saw in the clip from the original Independence Day, it always ruins traffic, which is probably why I'm most concerned about an alien invasion, because I hate traffic jams worse than anything. Drives me crazy. I got caught, and in York, it's not like if you drive to Harrisburg or Baltimore, you have to deal with real traffic. Most of the time, I'm just in York. I hate like when they put up a cone for like a line pole being down. That'll drive me crazy. I'll turn around in someone's yard to get away from that. Did it last week. It happened. But this seems to me to be the biggest problem of alien invasion. It's going to ruin traffic. And let's just admit, it's 2018. We're not supposed to say this, but they're not conventionally beautiful. We know that, right? Like, and it's weird, isn't it, how much aliens look alike in films? Like, they always get this giant head. Generally, some really bad dental work. I don't know why. Like, and I know there's the little gray ones, and there are different things. But when it comes to movies, we just watched, The Quiet Place the other day. Ooh, I like that. That was cool. But aliens sort of look like this. The hat doesn't work for me, but they're not conventionally beautiful. And let's just admit, one thing we've learned, they can be a bit cranky, right? Generally don't come in peace, right? They generally can be a little cranky. There's a little destruction. Insurance claims will go up when aliens show up. That's what we know from our movies. And here's another thing that's really clear when you watch movies. They want something, right? They generally don't just come to stop by. I know you're going to give me, and you can write me this in the talk back. Like, Yeah, it's not just for theological questions. We can argue about movies if you want, but I will read it if you put it in there or if you would just want to email me. But I notice a theme from all the science fiction movies, movies about alien invasions. They generally want something, right? They're not just here to stop by and say hi. This is from the 1962 Twilight Zone episode called To Serve Man. I wasn't alive then either. I'm old, but not that old. But I think that sort of idea still is in a lot of films. I love this old classic episode, though, where they realize that they said they were there to serve man, and then they realize that was sort of in the recipe sense, to serve man. But we know that from movies like aliens come to hunt us. Man is the ultimate prey. I don't know why man's the ultimate prey. We're not that fast, and we're really not that great at fighting, but for some reason, man is the ultimate prey. I think wildebeest or badgers, but man is the ultimate prey. They come to hunt us or to enslave us. If anybody watched Colony, that's a great show that's on now on cable. Like, they come to make us work in their factories, or they come to steal all of our resources, or they come to whatever. Like, they want something. And another thing I know from watching a lot of these alien invasion movies is we better hope that Will Smith is available because he can help us. That we know. Can you get sound up, please?
Welcome to Earth.
For some reason, he's there almost every time, and we better hope that Will Smith is around. But now let's talk a little, this is really dangerous for me, let's talk science fiction. You may have not been here, but early in the life of Action Church, I thought it would be funny to say, because I'm the opposite of a scientist, I'm a guy who paints houses for a living, I would say as a scientist, and I was making a joke, and it's sort of like, it wasn't even funny, I just said it almost, you know, every few sermons, I would go, as a scientist, I think, and as a scientist, I think, and I thought it was just being self-deprecating, except new people came and they heard me saying, as a scientist, I think, and as a scientist, I think. And I was at a picnic a few years later, and one of the newer people came up and said, I've been meaning to ask you, just what sort of scientist are you? And I said, the lying kind. So I haven't said that in a very long time. I am a guy who dropped out of college and I paint houses for a living. You should know that. I try to make that disclaimer as often as possible. But we should talk a little bit about science and science fiction, because these films are based on sort of this premise that there is something out there. Now, part of that, and by the way, we should probably consider this because Trump did propose a space force just last week, so I think we should talk about this. He might know something we don't know about this. So the space force is coming, but we should also talk about this idea that is throughout our culture, that there's something else out there. And it's based on a couple different principles. I think one of them would be, just in a broad sense, that over 200 planets have been, that we can sort of see or know that they're out there, that have conditions, which is always funny, they say that are conducive to life, but who knows, because what kind of life it could be. So just based on that, out of this sort of infinite universe we're in, we know of 200 places where life like us, that's very far away, could be. That's sort of a weak argument to me. I mean, it's okay, but that one really doesn't move the needle too much. I would put that in the possible but not probable. I mean, anything's possible. There is another area, though, and let's get really geeky just for a moment. But there's another area that makes me think like, oh, well, that is interesting. And maybe you've heard of the principle of dark matter. I mean, now, you're like, I think I saw that on a Third Rock from the Sun episode, and then they talked about it in the Big Bang Theory, not the actual theory, the sitcom. But this does sound like something Sheldon would argue about. I get that, but there's this theory of dark matter, and it's based on this idea that astrophysicists do calculations of why, as we look at our universe, we know that it is expanding, but not really expanding. What's actually happening is the space between the planets is actually growing, but we're not sure that anything's actually moving, but it appears to be expanding, and it should be slowing down, but it's actually speeding up, which really confuses us. And so if, as astrophysicists, not that I am one, I am not a scientist, right? I'm telling you that. It's easy for me to just go, as astrophysicists, which is obviously not me, but astrophysicists have done calculations and have said over time and have realized over time that we're missing about 85% of the matter that should be in our universe for it to be accelerating as fast as it is. Now, what that means, and it's interesting, is that if we are right, and it could be that we're completely wrong in our calculations, and it could be we forgot to carry the zero, I'll throw that in. But many people have looked at this problem since the 60s, and what they believe is that we can't see 85% of our universe. That 85% of our universe is probably, and the word, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't pronounce it, non-baryonic, meaning like our matter, you and I are made up of electrons and neutrons and protons, and that's about as scientific as I get, but we're made up of that kind of matter. But perhaps this dark matter that we can't see that should be there, that we can sort of find in an equation, but we can't see looking through even the Hubble telescope, is some other kind of matter. It's not the particles we're used to. And here's another thing that's interesting. If it's not made of the same particles as we are made of, if it's not electrons and neutrons, it can actually exist in the same space because you and I are mostly space, even though we feel sort of dense, I feel dense, or we feel sort of like, especially this morning, like I had a donut, we feel solid. No, I don't feel solid, I feel kind of squishy, but we feel like that we're not made of space, but really if you think about the space between the electrons and the neutrons in each one of your cells, we're basically space, and this will be the last of the science lecture that I don't understand, but basically this non-baryonic matter could be taking up the same space as us. It could actually pass through us and we wouldn't even know, and they're working on this in the super collider. And that's the last science we'll talk about. But as I've read that and I've thought about that over the years, it's interesting because basically what our best scientists say is there's a whole other, let's get a little Thor and Avengers here, there's a whole other realm that we can't see and that could be existing in sort of the same space as we are and could actually pass right. And so it's interesting, and as a Christian and as someone who believes the Bible, when I read that, I go, maybe we're all wrong in our calculations. Dark matter is something, it's like a rounding error. But if that is true, what I think scientists are explaining is this spiritual realm that the Bible talks about that we can't even see, but yet is such a big part of our universe according to God. So that's the last science, but I did want to tell you, now let's go to the book. Are there extraterrestrials in the Bible? Lots of them. Oddly enough, the story of the Bible, the story of the book, is not that, like many of the movies we watch are aliens are coming. And one day, and there's always that moment, that's why I showed that clip from Independence Day. That's always the same clip that like, that moment when everybody sort of walks outside and it's weird, like they're getting their paper even though none of us get our paper anymore. I don't know what it's going to be because we're all going to be looking at our phones and we're going to miss it. But it's some reason we walk outside, and even in the movie The Fifth Wave, which is really recent, everybody walked outside and they look up and there's spaceships everywhere. It's that moment. That is not the story of the book. The story of the Bible is that extraterrestrials, and I'm not talking about ET or the big thing with the giant mouth from Aliens, but people who are not, or things that are not of Earth, have been here all along, have sort of been here before we are, and some of them, I just wanted to, like, I'll be that guy, I want to point out from Scripture what some of those things are. Cherubim, now we think of cherubim as like cherubs, which are like fat, naked babies with improbably small wings that we see on MySpace. It's been a long time, but I'm sure they're on Facebook, but I'm just saying, like, most of MySpace that I remember was cool bands and fat naked babies with, maybe I had a, well, I should be on a watch list, but this idea that angels are sort of fat babies with wings, no, not at all, because cherubs, let me read something from Genesis. It says, after sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim. So where we find cherubims in the Bible is they're guards, they're soldiers, to the east of the garden in Eden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way. So where we find these angels, these cherubim, in the Bible is right at the very beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned and were kicked out of the garden in Eden, we find that these cherubim were put at the gate to keep them from ever coming back. And as much as you may hear friends, or you might hear something, you know, in the media or something, like someone met an angel and they were wonderful and whatever. That is not the experience of anyone in Scripture who met an angel. The first thing the angel always says, and Dave said this the other day, is don't be afraid. And the reason why is because you're going to be peeing your pants pretty quickly when you meet an angel, because obviously they're huge and very scary. So we have those. There's another kind of angel that's mentioned in Scripture only a few times, but this one seems, the picture we get of the cherubim throughout Scripture is sort of large and scary, but sort of human-like in form, because we find again and again, they'll say, I thought I saw a man standing there, or I saw a man, a glowing man. Now, the seraphim are different. It says, attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings. Now, if we were a good prophecy church, I would have a whiteboard here, and we would have like flannel. That's the way I remember it. We would have drawings of these things. It would be awesome. I don't. You're going to have to picture this in your mind. Have six wings, and two wings they covered their faces, and two they covered their feet, and two they flew. And they were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the God of heaven's armies. This is from Isaiah. We find the prophet Daniel finds these guys, Ezekiel. These are also mentioned in Revelation. So we kind of find this second class of seraphim, different from the cherubim. They're more odd to us, I think, as far. Now, where we find these guys in Scripture is they're doing two things. They are sort of like praising God, but don't think of them as like a worship leader with a scarf and like some low-slung jeans. These guys are the enforcers of the angels. Like, we find them in Revelation, like, they're sort of calling the shots when very, very, very bad things happen, which doesn't sound very worship leader-y at all. So it's very strange. That's a seraphim. Once again, I'm having this surreal moment going, we're talking about seraphim and cherubim. This is Action Church. This is weird, but I think you should know these things. Living creatures. Now,